Hebrews chapter 5, I want us to consider for about 20-25 minutes the ordination of Aaron in the priesthood. Hebrews 5, verse 1. For every high priest, being taken from among men, is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can bear gently with the ignorant and erring, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And it says in verse 4, and no man taketh the honor unto himself, but when he is called of God, even as was Aaron. Now let's look at Exodus 19. Verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be mine own possession from among all peoples, God's peculiar treasure, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This was what God said at first. Now, look in chapter 20, verse 18. And all the people perceived the thundering and the lightnings and the voice of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak unto us, lest we die. Now, let's look at chapter 28. Verse 1. And bring thou near unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Notice, holy garments. And it says, and these are the garments in verse 4, and it mentions the garments, and then the other responsibilities that he has. He mentions the garments, the washing, and the anointing. And so this chapter tells of the prospective ordination of Aaron as high priest and his sons as priests. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that in spite of the failure of men, you do what you can with man in his weakness and in his frailty. And we are thankful, our God, for all that you've done with men until your Son came from heaven. And we are thankful that men looked at him and said, he has done all things well. And so we pray that we shall understand a little bit about this ordination of the Aaronic priesthood. So bless us by thy Spirit, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Up until the scripture that I read to you, God gives us no intention of ever having a special priesthood. He said, I am going to make you a kingdom of priests. But then in the next chapter, when they heard God speak the Ten Commandments, they were filled with fear. And they said to Moses, we do not want God to speak to us. You go let God speak to you, and then you come and speak to us. And everything was changed. Because instead of their communing immediately with God, they immediately, through a priest, commune with God. And this is the remarkable thing. Why, man, being what he is, in some instances, wants to be that priest to intercede for others, but then on other occasions, he is afraid of being a priest. But what God's intention was never realized in the Old Testament, and you have to come to the New Testament, and you'll find in Romans 1, as I told you, and 5 and 20, that God has made us kings and priests. So God had to wait all those hundreds of years until the New Testament church was established. And now, in the New Testament church, we are all those that God intended the Israelites to be, kings and priests. Now, if you know this, you must not rely on others as if they had any exclusive power with God that you did not have. I would go to any faithful brother, whether he's in the full-time ministry, whether he preaches. There are some who do not preach, who have an ability to pray to God, to intercede, and their intercession is as effectual as any other man that has titles and has clothing and has pretensions, because this is what it says. It says, nobody ordains himself to be a priest until he is called of God. Now tell me, why is it that of the 12 tribes, one tribe was chosen and one family out of that tribe was chosen to be the priest and his sons, the priests of Israel? The reason is this, God called him. And so the Bible knows nothing of a man ordaining himself to be a priest, of man setting up a priesthood, and yet I have shown you how that man survived and all went well until man insisted that he have someone to take his place, and God succumbed to it. It's like this. Later on, when God wanted a theocracy, he was to rule over Israel, and there was to be no king. Man insisted that they have a king like unto the nations, and so God said, well, I will give you a king. And what God wanted was all of them to be priests. But they said, no, we do not want that. We want somebody else to intercede for us, to go and speak to God, and to intercede for us, and then to tell us what God said. How dangerous a thing. Whom can you trust to that degree? That is why I insist that what I tell you comes from the Word of God. But this is what I found, that there are some who, of their own imaginations, tell you things to do, things that are essential that you must do if you are going to heaven, and also if you're going to be acceptable in His sight. And all of these things are not of God. But what was ideal was never realized until New Testament times. And these whom God chose, because God said, all right, Moses, I want you to be everything. But Moses said, I can't do it. And so God, instead of having Moses as the high priest, he said, then I will ordain your brother to be the high priest and all of his children. And this is what it says, and it's so embarrassing. Here is Moses, who is a far greater man than his brother Aaron, and it says in the genealogies that Aaron was high priest and his sons were priests, and it says, but the children of Moses were simply Levites. How sad that the man who should have been the high priest and whose children should have been in the priesthood, instead they were just Levites. And now Aaron's sons and Moses' sons, who were first cousins, now all of Moses' sons would have to wait on Aaron's sons, because Aaron and his family had the priesthood, but the rest of the Levites had the service of the tabernacle. And the people wanted it that way. How sad. They wanted it that way until Korah thought the situation over in Numbers 16. And he and others rose up with him and said to Moses, "We are just as holy as you are. Why do you exalt yourself among us?" Now, the point is this, that Aaron and Moses did not exalt themselves. The people said, "We do not want to deal directly with you. You let Moses be the one in between." And so God said, "All right." And then Moses said, "Not me, but Aaron, my brother, was finally chosen." But now what happens is this. When the Korah and his sons see Moses and Aaron and all their importance, how beautiful they look when they are ministering, when they are the ones who determine all things that are to have to do with the laws and the ordinances that are established by God, then Korah wants to take the place of Moses. And God says, "No, I have ordained it this way, and this is the way it's going to be." And God worked through an imperfect priesthood all the years until Jesus Christ came upon the scene. And God had these priests to function until the veil in the temple was rent, and that is when this Levitical priesthood ended and the Melchizedek priesthood began. God said concerning Christ, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." But even when Christ was on earth, he observed all the ordinances of the Levitical priesthood, because that was in force until this Melchizedek came upon the scene. He was the priest. Now, this is what is so interesting concerning Aaron and his sons. It is pitiful, but this choice, Aaron's brother, was a failure even before he started. Moses is up in the mountain doing what they ask for. "You go and let God speak to you, and then you come down and tell us." And while Moses was in the mountain, his brother, the designated high priest, is down in the valley making a golden calf so that the children of Israel could worship it. How sad that the one that is representing them is the leader leading them into idolatry. And that's the way it was. You say, well, his children were better. His children were failures. His eldest son was Nadab and then Abihu. Then you have Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu, as soon as they are ordained priests, they go and they start offering strange fire, and God has to strike them dead. Now, isn't that pitiful? You have the high priest failing, and you have Nadab and Abihu failing, and then Eleazar and Ithamar have to take over. That's why you never find any genealogy of Nadab and Abihu. But afterwards, you find Eleazar and his descendants, and Ithamar and his descendants. But thank God for this, that while they failed, the brothers, it says, God was with Eleazar, and Eleazar brought forth a son named Phinehas, and Phinehas was so devoted to God, a man of such integrity and a desire for sanctity among the children of Israel, that when he saw fornication and sin and lust going on, he took a javelin, a spear, and he went and killed the man and the woman that were committing this sinful act in the presence of the children of Israel. And God said, "Phinehas has abated my wrath, and I'm giving him the priesthood forever." And so this was one who earned the priesthood by what he did. Now, some people are chosen for the good things they do, and some people are chosen in spite of the bad things that they do. But Phinehas was a man of God. But then, finally, you come much later on to the priest Eli, and he had a son named Hophni and Phinehas, and both of these sons were evil. And so you cannot instill in a man that by nature is a sinner all the things that should go along with the priesthood. But at least what God is going to do is to present a priest outwardly that has the trappings and has the typical significance of what a priest should be. You must understand that everything that was done to Aaron was done because of what he was not. And finally, when Aaron is equipped by God, and you look at him typically, he pictures everything that Jesus Christ is. We were singing concerning our Savior about his holiness. Well, all of the things that our Savior was inherently by nature, Aaron, all those things were missing. And so for that reason, God says, now, we have to make Aaron priest. But before we can let him function as priest, we have to wash him because he's unclean by nature. And we have to clothe him because he has not all of these characteristics that are symbolized by the garments. And we have to anoint him with oil because he does not have the power of the Spirit in his life. How sad that God would have to say to you, yes, you're going to be my high priest, but I'm going to have to show you what you are not. And though I cannot make you into this actually, typically I will make you that. And so I will make you one who is clean. And therefore Moses had to bathe his brother Aaron. And I'll have to clothe you with garments, though all that these garments represent, you are not that on the inside. And at the same time, I will have to anoint you with oil because the Spirit of God is not in you as he is in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if it meant your life, who could tell me, the priest, that the garments that the high priest wore on ordinary occasions, not when he was taking out the ashes, not on the day of the Day of Atonement, but who can tell me all the garments that Aaron wore? Embarrassing, isn't it? If it meant your life, if God said, I'll let any sinner into heaven, who will tell me? There's not one of you here that could get into heaven. And I'm going to tell you, and I think you'll forget it as soon as I tell you. But, first of all, he had on linen breeches. And then he had what you call the checkered coat. Then he had on the robe of the ephod. Then he had on the girdle. Then he had on the ephod. Then he had on the breastplate. Then he had on the mitre. And then on the mitre he had the holy crown. Do you see how simple it is? Those were the clothes of the high priest. And each one has a significance to it. I cannot tell you about that today. But the reason he had to put on these clothes was that he would typically be looked upon as possessing, typically at least, what the Lord Jesus Christ was actually. And the sad thing is this, that his sons were no different. They had to be washed and clothed and anointed as well. And so here we have a functioning priesthood, and yet all of these priests are typically what God wants them to be, but each individual in his own life determined whether it actually was so. Now, what you must do, I did not take time, but what you'll have to do is to read, and I won't tell you the chapter, but in Leviticus, you'll have to read, and it tells certain things that were to control the behavior of the high priest and his sons. It tells you how his family had to act, what they could and could not do. It tells you what they had to eat, what they could not eat. It told you such sanctity in their lives, with whom they could associate and whom they could not associate with, whom the high priest could marry and whom he could not marry. Everything was controlled in the man's life. And all of these things that God demanded, the Lord Jesus said this: Aaron and his sons had all of these things outwardly, typified by the clothing. But the Lord Jesus said, "Thy law is within my heart." So the Lord Jesus inwardly was everything God wanted him to be, and outwardly he lived that life perfectly before man. It said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so everything that the garments of Aaron typified, the Lord Jesus inwardly was. And the life he lived determined everything that Aaron was supposed to be. Now let me tell you some of these things. What is marriage today? It means nothing. But in the case of Aaron, it said, you can only marry a certain woman. And he said, you have to be of a certain physical appearance, or you cannot be a priest. And by the way, I will interject this. Eleazar and Phinehas were the priests that God ordained to continue to be priests. But you will find that Eli was not descended from Eleazar, but he was descended from Ithamar. And you would say, well, how could this be? God made a covenant with Phinehas, and he promised him the priesthood. This is what you will find, that if a priest had a son, his son, the firstborn, was to be priest in his stead, and it said the garments that Aaron wore, they are to be transferred to his son. I may tell you about that in a moment. But it says this, but if he has a son, and that son has scurvy, if that son has a deformed nose, if he is not able to have children, and it mentions all sorts of these physical defects, God said, he cannot function for me as priest. Now think of this. Here is Eleazar, who has a son, Phinehas, who has a son, and I can tell you their sons. You see, Phinehas has children, and you have Bucky, and you have Uzzi, and then you have finally, until you come to Zadok the priest. But along the line, the descendants of Phinehas were not the priests, because some deformity, perhaps, that's the only thing I can think of, some deformity made them go over to Ithamar, because his sons were acceptable, and Ithamar's sons were priests, high priests, for some five generations. And then it went back to Eleazar and Phinehas again. But here is what Aaron could do and what he could not do, and his appearance had to be a certain way. Now, you and I, it may not be that we are so attracted to look at physically, but if the life that you live before God is acceptable, then you are beautiful in the sight of God. And if your life is sinful, no matter how beautiful you are, I will give you an example. There was no one more beautiful than Absalom, David's son in Israel. He was a beautiful man, but his heart was black as sin. And what happened was this. He looked beautiful outwardly, but inwardly he was horrid. There was a murderer in his heart. And so here is what God said. Now, Aaron would be perfectly acceptable outwardly as priest. He said, but inwardly he could not be acceptable. And so what God says, all of these deformities that could be in a man, these are pictures of a life lived in sin. And they pictured the life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived perfectly. And there was no blemish in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are other things. I want you to see this. And perhaps I will tell you Wednesday night, certain priests determined to do certain things for God. And God had duties other than the two I read about. It said, a priest is appointed for man in things pertaining to God. And therefore, if I brought a lamb to be offered to God, I could only go so far, but then the priest had to offer it unto God. That was as far as I could go. But not only that, not only did the priest have to function that way, but it said the priest's lips have to speak wisdom. And a priest had to determine if there were any disease in the camp, whether a man had leprosy. And then if that man did have leprosy, he had to be removed, but if at a later date that leprosy were cleansed, he had to go through the ceremony of restoring that leper. He had to determine the condition of a house, whether that house could be lived in anymore. There were ever so many responsibilities of the priest and his sons. And these are a few remarks, and all the time that I've been given and all that I want to tell you about the ordination of Aaron into the priesthood. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the way that you worked out things and for the patience you've had with man. Our God, we look upon Aaron and his sons and their failures, but we look upon ourselves as priests, our God, and we wonder about our failures. And so while we are telling about his, we pray that you shall forgive us, our God, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so now that Aaron and his sons are not the ones that are a kingdom of priests, but we are, help us to be functioning properly as priests, and let us be beautiful in our lives, and may you look down from heaven and say, in my sight, there are great Christ. Help us to be good priests, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.